Wildy and Tausch. Man, I even made sure we got close to on time. Joe's been delayed slightly. He'll be here shortly.
It's snowing out.
It is snowing.
It is.
Snow Thomas.
It's no joke. So we put two poles in the field. And I do think, Tausch, that some of the balloting is reflective of a little bit of the Rogers fatigue that is occurring. Because food poisoning got almost 3,000 votes earlier this week in its poll.
Yeah.
And the current poll, we are over 1,000 votes on our first poll. So I feel better because there had been some slow returns. Maybe the potato corridor is starting to come in now. If Aaron Rodgers plays elsewhere in 2023, like, say, for the New York Jets, will you root for him or against him? And you want to get your coughing ready? Not true. 68% say they'll root for him.
So you think, as Packer fans, because we appreciate, there's not a doubt in my
mind. Thank you for your service.
Packer fans appreciate what Aaron Rodgers has done. No way will I ever question that. I know I do. I think everybody involved does.
Everybody?
No, I do. What he's done for the Packers? Yes. Now, could you be disappointed he hadn't gotten more championships? But the fact that he's given 18 years, tons of great memories, a championship, all kinds of entertainment value.
Yeah,
I disagree. I mean, you're crazy.
No, I think that there is less appreciation than there should be for him. Maybe there will be now, to your point, what you just said, maybe down the road there will be that. But I don't think there is the same level of appreciation that is commensurate with what he did.
Say that right now.
I don't think Packers fans... Was that say Wildy there?
Keep going.
I don't think Packers fans have as much appreciation for Rodgers that it is commensurate with all he accomplished during his Packers career. I think they feel more about the disappointment of not enough Super Bowls, not enough playoff wins. I don't think that there's as much appreciation as there should be. That's what I think.
Well, that's the feeling I get. I think people appreciate what he's done. I do. And I think that will... But I have a hard time believing that 70% of Packer fans are going to feel great when Aaron Rodgers leads the New York Jets over the San Francisco 49ers and beats them in a championship, and he walks off with the same amount of championships in 2 years or 1 year with the Jets as he does with 18 years in Green Bay. I got a hard time buying that. I do. And I think people do appreciate, I think all Packer fans, whether you don't like what Aaron's done the last couple years or you do, I think all Packer fans can look at this in a holistic point of view and say, man, yeah, we wish we'd have had more chips. But son of a gun, I legit appreciate your service for what you've done for us as Packer fans.
I hope you're right.
Well, I'm going to tweet this out on my own and get some reaction because I'm fascinated you feel that way. I am dumbfounded that is actually the case the way you feel, but I'm shocked that you believe that.
You really think that people, like, with all the things that he has done to annoy people, I mean, he calls himself a villain,
but
right?
That trumps everything. The stuff on the field trumps all of that.
Yeah, and for the last decade...
The Hail Marys, the championship belt.
Well,
now you're
bringing in things that you sound like me now, right? Because those are moments in journeys that ultimately end in disappointment. And I'm always talking about the entire season and all the great moments that occur during a season. The, what did they come back in? 37 seconds against San Francisco? Was that last season? Where they drove the field in 37 seconds for Mason's game-winning field goal? Or was that 2 years ago? Not this past season, obviously. Like, those are all the moments that I love as a guy who covers the team. I don't think those are as appreciated as much because the end results have been so disappointing. Year after year after year after the Super Bowl. If Packers fans are more appreciative than I think they are, great. But maybe I've read too many responses on Twitter about the guy.
The good news is I was going to tweet this out. Now that we're on video, Maddie could put that because that
she
is...
She could, but
no, that
we're
legit
not gonna.
Is fascinating to me. Jesse, do you believe that? Because I look at it from my perspective. I couldn't appreciate and respect more what Aaron Rodgers has done. Am I disappointed that we don't have 2-3 chips? Yes. All Packer fans are. I think I'm going to send a text out to my guys that are the most ardent anti-Rodgers crew. Wanted him traded for the last 3 years. And I'd almost guarantee you they'd all say, heck yeah, we appreciate and respect what he did, though. But they'd also say, no, I don't want him winning a championship with the Jets. Are you delusional?
But they would also say he didn't do enough.
Packer fans aren't going to want Aaron Rodgers to lead the Jets to a chip and have the same amount of championships as what he did in 18 years with Green Bay. That would be absurd if we were on board with that.
Well, let's look at poll question number two, shall we?
Sure. You're here. Sure. We got to get back to being in different areas, man. This is freaking me out.
What was that?
I was just having a conversation here. That's what a radio show's about, conversations.
What would upset you more as a Packers fan over the next few years? Aaron Rodgers leaving and winning a Super Bowl somewhere else, or Aaron Rodgers staying, not reaching a Super Bowl, and Jordan Love becoming a star with another team? 75% of you. 12 stays, Love is a star. So they wouldn't be that upset if he left and wins a Super Bowl. They'd be more upset if Love left and was really good.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Okay, but you believe that Packers fans, by and large, are very appropriately appreciative
for
of what
sure.
Rodgers accomplished.
Yes. Now, it's
because
heat of the moment.
I know we've got video and everything else, which is another reason why I'm never coming back. But I want to be clear. I'm not saying they don't appreciate him at all. I'm saying they don't appreciate him commensurate with everything he's accomplished. I don't think that they appreciate him that much. And frankly, I don't think many of them like him very much. And I think that factors in, like we always talk about with him. Every topic that we discuss with him is a Rorschach test. If you don't like Rodgers, you answer one way. If you do like Rodgers, you answer another way. And there's no, like, in between. It's all influenced by whether you like the guy or not.
Not this.
All right.
I don't believe this part is, because for as much as you could be irritated with him on numerous fronts and think that he's
I think you want to believe
selfish.
This about
Packers
fans.
No. I've been around long enough, and I've seen how Packer fans treat and respect. You know, I don't know how many times I've had people come up to me and say, thank you
for your service.
And look at what Aaron Rodgers has done. So it's easy to sit here on the Twitter machine and behind computer screens, but Packer fans respect and appreciate the efforts that this man has given us for 18 years. There is not a doubt in my mind about that. Now, can you still sprinkle in disappointment in the fact that you only got one chip? And then if you add that to the fact that the New York Jets would win a championship with him, I can't believe that that would be the case where people would be fine with that. I can't get my head wrapped around that.
Yeah. I'm curious to know. I don't know how you get a read on whether Packers fans appreciate him at the right amount.
Well, what is the right amount? You don't need to throw like ticker tape parades for him, but
no.
I'm saying there's nobody that's saying he shorted us. He didn't give us everything he had. He's given us everything that I think he is ever you could ever expect from an athlete.
It just feels like
it's because it's hot right now and people are irritated with him.
I mean, there's people who are irritated for him to be gone.
Yes.
Like they want him actively want him gone.
They do now.
And it's hard for me to believe that you appreciate someone that you actively want gone now when he could still play and play well for you, even though he didn't play as well.
Look at how presidents are treated. Look at how presidents are. There's plenty of people want these presidents gone, and then as time elapses, people will say, well, we appreciate this about them. We appreciate their almost all of their approval ratings will go up as time elapses. And when people pass, there's always that. You get that.
Well, nobody wants to be that guy when somebody passes.
No, but I'm saying, well, there's plenty of people that are. That's where we're at. I just look at this, and I firmly believe that Packer fans are incredibly respectful and will acknowledge, thank you for everything you've done. I firmly believe that.
What have you been getting on your private talk and text line about this?
I've been too busy making sure I hit my mic, watching the barbecue come in. No one on video, so I have not sent it out. But I will send that out, and I'll find out.
All right. Again, I'm not saying that there's a that there is no appreciation for what he's done, but that's just not the sense I get from Packers fans, that they are fully appreciative of how good the guy has been and how many great memories there are, because there haven't been enough titles. There's only been one Super Bowl appearance. There's only been one championship in his 15 years as a starter. I don't think that he's appropriately appreciated. And maybe that's because he rubs a lot of people the wrong way. But I feel like Brett Favre was more appreciated on his way out the door to New York than Aaron Rodgers will be on his way out the door to New York, if that's what happens.
It's just because Favre's more beloved. It has nothing to do with the appreciation. I think people appreciated Brett even more because of where this organization was when he took over.
Agreed. Same with Ted versus Ron Wolf, right?
Yeah, that is the piece that. But I still believe that everybody is looking at this and saying, "Yeah, we do." He is not underappreciated. I do not believe so.
Okay. I hope you're right. We'll see. I'll figure out a way to ask this question.
I know we're having tri-tip probably from Mission. Is this tri-poll Thursday? But it's Friday?
Yeah, it feels like more of an essay question to me.
All right. Oh, essays are good too.
We should do a word bank question sometime.
I have no idea what that means.
You mean like pick out of a thing?
Yeah,
and
there's
then
like 10 questions. You got to figure out where each word goes into each respective blank. And
okay.
Word bank. That's the only type of test question. All right,
so here's a word bank for you: blue, chill, mountain.
This
brood.
Is like pyramid, $25,000 pyramid. And you know what?
We'd be a good team.
Actually, we should have played because we're sitting across.
Today.
We still can.
Yeah.
Maybe Jesse will draw that up, but I don't need to draw anything up when it comes to chilling, and that's Coors Light, brewed of the 3-step cold process. Cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp and is only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. I'll tell you one thing. I saw this guy doing the Cleveland Sports Show, the whole deal. Somebody that
Tony Rizzo
is completely appreciated and respected in the national sports scene, but in the state of Ohio. I don't think anybody's saying they don't respect what Joe gave them. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I hope he shows up. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I'll be honest. We have a Mission Barbecue in town now. We're excited about it in Green Bay. If he hadn't brought in any food,
I don't know if you
I'd
come.
Still be really excited.
Joe, do you think he's coming if you didn't promise barbecue too?
No chance.
I didn't think so.
False. You guys are both wrong.
Oh, it's snowing out.
It wasn't snowing when I left. Had it been snowing at the time that I actually left Green Bay, you might be right.
Do you know that he's not been living in Madison for 25 years, and he still comes down here just to get his hair cut? So, yes, he's telling you he's came to see you and to eat barbecue. He came to get a haircut.
So I can tell he doesn't come to Madison all that often.
No, not since September.
You're trying to tell me.
Let me put it this way. You told me Joe was going to be here on this date. You said you wanted me here. I said, I'll be here.
That is true.
Then you told me he was bringing
Mission Barbecue.
Mission Barbecue.
Yep. I just got to watch as Jesse coming. Nelson walked into the studio.
It smelled good, so it wasn't Jesse. And then I scheduled a haircut. So it all started with Joe Thomas coming in studio.
Where's the barber shop?
It's over in Verona. It's not a barber shop. It's
like a home studio.
Hair styling
salon. It's
a salon.
Do you get your nails done?
Are you
going to
get a petty?
It's called
Manny
Petty.
Urban Joe,
Etta.
Are you a petty guy? Because
I am.
Yeah, it's
like
crazy that people. Well, that's not.
They poo poo it. They shouldn't.
No, it's idiotic. If you don't do pedicures, you're kind of an idiot.
Yeah. Good foot rub. And
yes.
Get up there, the calf rub.
Gets that blood flow. It just feels fresh when you're done.
I don't want to go ice fishing with you. I don't want to go get a pedicure with
you. So if I'm out ice fishing, would you ice fish in weather like this? You'd go ice fishing this,
yeah,
right?
But you got the pop-up shanty. You don't have to sit outside on a bucket.
I'm not 100% sure how we're doing it, but we're going this afternoon.
Really?
Yeah. You could join us if you want.
Sure.
There's an open
spot.
Sure.
Where are you guys going? I was coming in last night from Cleveland, and I saw Lake Monona's got a bunch of water open. Like,
ooh.
Oh, you don't say.
That's a little
you
concerning.
Don't say.
I'm sure there's plenty of good ice out there.
Sure,
but
there's plenty.
Kind of a warm winter for
ooh,
ice fishing.
Ooh, Joe's got me a little freaked out. Oh, boy, the guy that knows what he's doing said we're fine.
I'll let you borrow my Gumby suit. I got one of those suits that's got, like, foam in it. So
it's
if
like
you go in the water,
device?
They like, pop the top like a bobber.
So you came back from Cleveland. I was fast. I saw this on Twitter. Yeah. You were basically, because we've done the Wisconsin Sports Awards together.
Yeah, great times.
And then
you guys were great.
This is now
fun.
You were like legit, like the Emmys. You had your own monologue.
Yeah.
How was that process? Because that is not
it's tough.
That's not just you sitting there talking foolish with a couple of idiots.
Yeah, that was tough. It was really challenging.
Jason, we're the idiots.
Me and
I didn't
Ricky
need
Gervais,
to
we got a lot in common now because it was like hosting the Emmys or the Grammys or like one of these big events where you got to have a little comedy shtick up front. You got to hit on some topics that are a little bit relevant. You got to connect with the crowd.
Did one of your what
you
was
know,
your best joke?
See, the nice thing is it was a home crowd, so I was speaking to the people of Cleveland.
A lot of beloved,
there was a lot of charity laughs.
Inside ish,
a lot
of charity laughs. There was charity laughs. There were some groaners, but. Some inside-ish jokes. So we had a player this year, Jadeveon Clowney. You guys all know him. He was not the best teammate this year. At times, he decided that he didn't want to go in the game on first and second down. He only wanted to rush the passer towards the end of the season.
Could you imagine that as an O-lineman?
Yeah, right? No,
third and eight. I'd rather sit this out.
Yeah. No, I'm your running tackle. So only first and 10 is when I'm going to go in the game.
Wow.
So Jadeveon, he kind of earned the reputation as a little bit of a malcontent during the season, and actually going into the last week of the season, he came out and kind of blasted his teammates and his role on the team, and got suspended for the last game of the season. And so Ohio has just legalized sports gambling. They've got the windows in Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, which is where we had the sports awards. And so I said, hey, you know, for all those degenerates out there, you got 10 more minutes to get your bets in for the high school athlete of the year. And just a little insider baseball, even though he was the odds-on favorite, Jadeveon Clowney will not be winning the Courage or the Sportsmanship Award tonight, so don't throw your money, because that's a bad bet.
Not bad.
And so people
nicely
locally,
done,
they enjoyed it. They enjoyed it, you know, because of the reference. And I think that's where my buddy Anthony Lima, who does one of the shows out in Cleveland, did a good job, because he's been in that position a few times as the MC, and he kind of helped me like understand, hey, you got to connect things that are current with maybe a little bit of a humor, be a little bit self-deprecating, you'll do a great job.
But you did not have like a writer or comedians giving you a bunch
of
stuff.
I wish. I mean, that would have been great if I had it. I think I probably would have done even a better job.
And no teleprompter.
No teleprompter.
Because
that was
at the Emmys and
tough.
The Oscars, they have
they
one of those.
They just read it. And they got writers. Like, even the comedians have people writing the jokes for them. But I will say not having a teleprompter was probably good because it forced me to practice it a lot. And delivery is everything with that type of stuff when you're up on stage.
Well, if you do it again next year, if you need some joke writers.
Oh, you're my guys.
I got this pun calendar that's been really fun. Jesse, we love a good pun on this show. So, Joe, anything else from that experience that you want to jump into? Or Jason and I just had an interesting debate on the Rodgers, because Rodgers, as you can tell,
obviously that's
it's everywhere.
Huge, right? It's everywhere.
Jason doesn't think that Packer fans fully appreciate. Let's say Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Jets. I said people are going to look at this. Do they wish they had more championships? Absolutely. But fans are always very appreciative of the time served. I don't know. I know that's how you feel. I know that's how I feel. But do you think that Packer fans will let the fact that you didn't get a second or third championship take away from the 18 years that he's given this team?
I don't think fans appreciate right now what he has meant to the Green Bay Packers. The sustained success he has brought to this organization, I don't think it's fully appreciated right now.
Don't you sit
and so
up.
I think
don't be
if
leaning
he does,
back like you're some...
Yeah, right. If he does leave...
Just taking it all in.
They're going to be disappointed probably a little bit, but I think there's a big section of the fan base that are going to say, you know what, it's been kind of a headache the last few years, and I'm happy that we were able to get potentially a king's ransom for him when he walks out the door. And whoever takes over, hopefully there is success. But it's very unlikely they're going to follow Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, with another Hall of Fame talent at quarterback. And in those moments when you're struggling to get to 500 potentially with an average quarterback, then they're going to look back and go, oh my gosh, we don't realize how great we had it. Because think about the last time the Packers didn't have a great quarterback. It was like when I was a kid watching Don Majkowski. And even there's some people probably there saying, hey, Don Majkowski is a pretty good quarterback. But like, you have to go through those periods of struggle to be able to appreciate the greatness that you did have. And that's one thing I will say about Favre. I don't think he's ever been fully appreciated yet, because you guys went from Favre right into Rodgers.
I just want you to know that I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you for your service.
I love you I definitely think the immediacy, because it's hot right now. But I'm saying if he leaves, people are going to look back and say, we do appreciate.
They will look back, but not right away.
Yeah,
no,
I agree with that. Yeah,
okay. Is that what I said?
I feel like people don't appreciate him
for everything that he has accomplished. They don't appreciate him enough. That was my argument, and you poo-pooed me. But here's the thing, and I understand the rubbing people the wrong way part. I understand all the other stuff. But if you ask a Packers fan, and obviously not every Packers fan is going to be the same, but if you ask a Packers fan about Aaron Rodgers and what you remember more about him, do you remember the Super Bowl? Do you remember the great plays? Or do you remember the disappointments? I think that there are, and maybe this is just a statement on people's personalities, but I think they're going to remember more of the disappointments and what he failed to do than what he accomplished. That's the feeling I get.
It's a matter of recency bias, though, because he won a Super Bowl, what, 13 years ago at this point?
Was it 12 years ago now?
That was a long time ago. And so the disappointments were more recent in everybody's mind. And I think that's just a human nature, right? We remember things that happened more recently, more often in our minds until we've had a time to fully reflect. So maybe 10 or 15 years, and then I think people will have that Super Bowl moment stick out a little bit more in the Aaron Rodgers legacy as they think back on his years as a Packer.
Yeah, so let's say he does get traded, and it's starting to feel like that's what's going to happen. If you were playing, let's say you were playing with him and he left, would you want him to go and have success? Because you're buddies with him, more than likely. Mm-hmm. Would you want him to go to the Jets and win a Super Bowl? Obviously, you'd want the Browns to win a Super Bowl, but let's say you're retired.
No, your buddy. What you're saying. Like, he's your good buddy.
Yeah.
Other conference? Yeah, I would want to see him win a Super Bowl. I don't think I would be that bitter, especially if I was one of those guys. Jeez, did he have any guys that he won the Super Bowl with?
There's like two left, I think.
Like, who's left?
Mason Crosby.
Is that it?
The only one.
Oh, I thought there was one other guy. Yeah, it's just one guy.
So, really? I would, in that case then, if those guys were the ones that were there when the disappointment was happening, I imagine there's probably a little bitterness there if he left, and they are probably cheering against him, I would think, then.
And again, Tausch remembers this as a player himself late in Favre's time as the starter. The young guys don't feel the same connection to the old guy as they feel to the young guy. You know, they're the ones that are on the look team, on the scout team, with Rodgers going up against the starters. They're the same with Love and some of these young guys now. That's the guy that they feel more connected to. So, again, I don't know if he's going to get traded or not, but as we've been saying throughout the week, it feels different this time around, and I think there is, I'm not willing to say it's likely he's going to get traded, but it's more likely than it's ever felt before.
How much of that do you think is the fact that when Jordan Love did play this year, he started to look like he could be a capable starter, and they're thinking like, hey, you know what? Maybe it's time to give him the opportunity, give him the reins, give him the locker room, and see if he can be our guy. And knowing that Aaron Rodgers now is debating retirement more than at any point throughout his career.
Yeah, I definitely think Jordan Love and his competence, because before 2 years ago, he was not ready. I think everybody knew it. Now I think there's at least a fraction, I don't know what percentage of the people up in Green Bay, think that he can play. So that makes this easier, but I still think, and they've said, Aaron's our guy, we signed him to this contract, but I don't think they're putting all into saying, we really need you back. Now it's more like, hey, we'd love to have you back, but we're not going to bring back Cobb, or we're not going to bring back all your guys, and I think that spearheaded this conversation to the point where we're at right now.
So they pulled the GM title, huh? Oh, man. Short-lived.
You
only
gave
a couple
it to
years.
Him, but they took it away.
They're taking it away.
Was it not? It's not, not to like throw flowers at Joe, but that's literally what he said needed to happen, and that is exactly what happened.
Well, I would say this. It's not exactly what happened. Because
he made a trade as a quarterback.
He did.
Jason.
He did.
He said, I'm not done. Making a trade for this guy that we do
correct.
Not want.
Except I think after that trade, they acted.
How many players get to trade for people?
Correct. That was I agree. But I think what Joe's point was, I don't want to speak for Joe, especially since he's here. But when we talked about this with him last year, I think I envisioned, and we both agreed with Joe that they should do it. Right?
He did not say, hey, go down and scout this kid at Northwestern.
It's not.
That guard could be somebody. He did not say that.
Tausch,
yeah.
If Rodgers was put in the type of assistant GM role that Joe had envisioned for him, would they have added a wide receiver at the trade deadline?
Yes.
Would they have added a wide receiver at the end of training camp? Would they
Is this
have
a Dr.
cut,
Seuss commercial?
Would they have cut Amari Rodgers sooner?
Yes.
Okay, so you can't say that he was really getting some measure of say because they weren't listening to him on any of those three things I just asked you about. Because he would have demanded all three of those things occur. So they allowed him to trade for Randall Cobb, and then they said, okay, we're taking away your title already. Mm. We'll just make you feel like you have more say. Because I think that's how things operated. We'll have more with our good buddy Joe Thomas live from the ESPN Madison studios. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com. You've got me seeing stars.
Continuing with Joe Thomas on this feel-good Friday on Wilde and Tausch. If you missed all the awkwardness before, Joe's really saved the show.
He always does.
Well, I mean, he's always great when he's on.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but do you feel better when you're in person with people? Or now that since we've been doing so much Zoom COVID.
Zoom is way more fun. Yeah, I'm sure everyone will agree with me out there. Seeing somebody on a computer screen and having those
enjoy
awkward pauses.
But Jason has been super awkward because he is basically for two... I know he gets mad when I say this. But for 3 years, has shelled himself into his basement, cocooned himself around all of his knickknacks, and then when he comes out... It's almost like a scared cat. He's like, oh, this is weird. You're too close to me. You're five feet apart from me.
You can touch me. You're reaching across like that. Look, I'm just saying the dynamic of the show is awkward. I have no problem being with other humans. But the show has just been weird. Like, you're fiddling with your button all the time over there.
Yeah, it's called turning it on.
Why?
And then turning it off. Because
there's an echo.
If you have both microphones on at the same time.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that true, Jesse?
Well, what is Jesse?
Because these brand new expensive microphones
in
this fancy studio.
He's like the content
director here. In the old studio that wasn't set up correctly, yeah, that was an issue. Here, it's just if you want to take a drink or if you want to clear your throat a little bit, you could do that.
And then there's times where you forget to push the on button and you're still talking.
Yeah.
Aww. If you missed some of that awkwardness before Joe got here, you can find it all on Wisconsin On Demand, presented by Grubel Offices. One call, that's all. Thanks to David and his team for supporting the show and for supporting Wisconsin On Demand. Grubel Offices, one call, that's all. All right, Joe, it is January 27th. The Super Bowl is just a couple of weeks away, but more importantly, the NFL honors are a couple of weeks away.
Ooh.
Which means the announcement of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2023 is almost upon
That's
us.
A lot of drama.
Are you nervous at all? Like, we're all talking about how it's a foregone conclusion and first ballot Hall of Famer, and we had you on a couple weeks ago, and we made you promise to come back when you are a Hall of Famer, even though we're all fully believing it's going to occur. How are you approaching these coming weeks as it gets closer?
I was never the type that got nervous to get the results of the test back. You know, like when you're in school, you take the test on a Monday, it takes a couple of days to grade it.
Or like when you're playing, you're nervous before the game, but once you get going.
Yeah, once you get going, then you don't have that nervousness, right? Because there's nothing you can do to change the results at that moment. And that's kind of how I feel a little bit. However, I will say, whenever they give you the idea of, hey, the knock on the door, the call is coming like today at some point, you know, because I think that's how they're still going to do it, although they're not doing the knock on the door in Arizona at the Super Bowl site. They're having everybody in their hometown, and so I think what they're going to do is they're going to come to your actual house.
Oh, they did this with Charles Woodson a couple years ago.
I believe that's what they're going to do. They haven't confirmed it, but
okay.
Basically that's the intimation that they've given me. I think that day I'm going to be a bundle of nerves, because even though everything has been done and I feel pretty confident and comfortable with my resume, I mean, you never know what those guys are thinking, and it is such a big moment in your life, and obviously it's the highest individual accomplishment you can have in the sport.
So if they do that, do they let Annie know? So then they're going to be like planning
she
how they're going
to
come
secret.
And surprise
yeah,
she
you.
Would never be able
she's
to
as bad as me.
I hope
yeah.
that they don't tell her.
No,
maybe.
I wouldn't think yeah. so. But it is funny. She has been using it against our children, like any good mom would.
Yeah.
Because
savvy.
They're obviously going to tell us, right? If they're going to have us at our house, they want to make sure we're going to be there. If they're going to show up,
clean
right?
up all
like
the toys.
Publisher's Clearinghouse shows up to give you that big check and you're not even there, right? So she's been telling the kids, like, we don't know when they're going to come, so you better clean up your room. So she's had them clean up their room for like
parenting.
Four nights in a row, and every day they get home from school, like, did we miss it? Did they come when we were at school? And she's like, nope, not yet, but go clean up your room. They might be here any minute. So we'll see how long that lasts.
So it will not be you and the kids in a hotel room waiting for a knock at the door. So that you're off the hook on that, because
yep.
that I would think
Man,
would be a long
be
time to sit and wait.
Yeah, that'd be tough. So at least you'll be in your own house. So I'm assuming what they're going to say is like, hey, this is the day. Here's like a 4-hour window. Make sure you're just chilling in the house. So at least you can be doing your own stuff rather than being in like a stuffy hotel room with six people and, you know, two queen beds. Like
yeah.
kind of like me and Tauscher, if we would have roomed in
yeah,
college on the road.
Been fun. So tell me, this is crazy, but if they give you that 4-hour window, wouldn't it be great to bookmark the whole thing, where you get a boat with your folks, with your kids, with your wife, and you're out fishing when they give you that announcement?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think, although
it's
if it's coming
here.
In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be in an ice shanty.
Ice fishing, yes.
There's other places.
So I like that. So maybe we should
like
do that.
Captain Lee could take you down to the Bahamas.
Well, I'm
below
all for that.
Hey, go.
If the NFL's footing the bill, we might as well just keep going all the way to the Bahamas.
Happen. But would that be cool? Where because
yeah, like
you
that
t- yeah, there's so
knock
much
on my ice shanty door.
Yeah, where they knock
it
on it. It's, hold up a second. I got to pull this wall. I got to lose on the other line about some white walls.
So you said you were in Cleveland. So does Tony Grossi, our teammate at ESPN
right.
Cleveland, present your case to the panel and everything?
Yes, exactly. So every team has a representative, one of the beat writers, right? So there's 32 beat writers. Each one represents
For
a
us,
team.
For us, it's Pete Doherty
what
from
the beat
Green Bay
Press.
Hated
you?
Well, that's...
Then maybe he doesn't do as good of a
well,
job.
Well, like, let's say Bill Schroeder was getting up. Bill Schroeder was getting up. You don't like him.
Not a big Bill
how
Schroeder
would you?
Fan.
How would you have approached trying to get him into the Hall of Fame?
So there's a pretty good story about Warren Sapp's candidacy.
Uh-huh. And nobody likes Warren
because,
Sapp.
Right.
I think everybody
literally
knows
nobody,
that by now. Like, literally
right?
nobody liked him.
And so the presenter from the Tampa Bay group basically stood up and said that I hate this guy's guts. Can't stand him. I wish I didn't have this job. But guess what?
Yeah.
The guy's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
No matter how you feel about him personally, the player that he was, and go through his resume, and it's true.
Yeah.
Right? We don't like Warren Sapp on this show, but he was a Hall of Fame player, and he deserved to get into the Hall. You, on the other hand, I'm sure Tony Grossi likes you, like everybody else likes you. Does anybody not like you?
Yes. There's people out there. On the next episode of
I was gonna say,
Willie
that.
And Tausch, we're going to talk about the people that hate me.
It'll be a short show.
That'll be a fun one. But so it's Tony Grossi. And then Mary Kay Cabot, who's also been a beat writer for a number of years, is considered, I think, one of, like, they call it the at-large.
Because okay.
I think there's like 50 total-ish.
There are 50, yes. Yep.
And so there's the 32 individual beat writers from the teams. And then there's at-large, who are a mix of like national people. And Mary Kay is... one of the longer beat writers in the NFL as a female. She kind of represents that segment of the football population that covers the NFL. And so I think both of them get, because it already happened.
You're getting two heads coming at you.
I think both of them wow. kind of give up and speak on your behalf, but I'm not sure exactly.
Well, it's a good thing that you've got more than one person presenting your case, because you're kind of borderline, if you ask me. So the other thing we were talking about with in terms of Rodgers, and we were talking a little bit about young players.
I thought you were going to go Oprah here and try to get him to cry.
What? That's what you said the last time I got him on, too. And you know what happened? I thought I had a really good Oprah-y question. And he
poo-pooed it.
He didn't poo-poo it. I think he got a little bit, but he handles that stuff better. Mm. You know, he's not going to fall for the Oprah routine. What we were talking about is older players earlier in the program when we were awkwardly doing like we just did now. And you got to be an older player, first offensive lineman in NFL history, as we know.
That's right.
As you got later in your career, the ability to relate with the younger players, mm-hmm. we were talking about Rodgers earlier. Did you have to go out of your way to be able to do that and be good at it when you had young offensive linemen coming into your room?
It wasn't as tough with the offensive linemen, because it seems like offensive linemen,
we're all kind of the same.
Yeah. You know,
no matter how old you it's are, you that, guys just it's a
I
different
mean, it's
vibe.
Obviously you're going to be doing some things different, especially if you have family and all that stuff. But you're all kind of, you know, got to do this.
Harumph,
it's just kind of go eat. Let's go eat. Let's go have a beer. That's good. But I think are you going with, like, from the quarterback standpoint, and Romeo Doubs saying yesterday he never even hung out with Aaron Rodgers,
not once.
Yeah, and I think obviously quarterbacks and receivers, I always thought the O-line dinner was really important for us, just because mm-hmm. we'd get the quarterbacks, we'd bring the running backs out, we'd try to incorporate them into our world.
So you were the ones taking the effort, though.
Yeah, somebody has to take the effort to do it.
I think one thing that young players don't understand is, because when they come right from college, everybody in college hangs out. Nobody's married. Most people don't have kids. Like, that's all you got after a game. You got plenty of energy. You're 19, 20 years old. You go to the bar, you drink beer, you have a good time, right? Like, that's part of the college experience. You get to the NFL, you hang out with some of the other younger guys that are single. They don't have families. You got a little bit of energy. But when you get in your 30s, like, and this hasn't changed a whole lot, like, you just don't have quite as much energy after games. You got kids,
beat up.
Got family, you're beat up. You want to go ice your knees. The last thing you want to do is go stand around, because you know the season's 17 games now. And so I think there's just maybe a little disconnect there with understanding what it's like when you get a little bit older. And I will say, when maybe Rodgers was younger, there's not social media that's all around. And so you may have still seen those guys occasionally. Maybe, Tosh, you can tell me when you were playing with him. Like, you probably occasionally go out after a game if it was a big game. Maybe get some beers, go
Carrie
to a bar.
Underwood concert.
Whatever, concert here and there, you know, because you didn't have the social media. You didn't have as many people in your face and stuff like that. But now it just doesn't happen like that. So there's nowhere that Aaron Rodgers can go
everything
hang out
has
with
to be planned to
anybody
a
on the
and,
team
yeah.
that he's not going to just get completely mobbed and it just totally ruin the night that they were maybe trying to have, the connections they were trying to make. And so the fact that they didn't hang out, that's not a surprise to me whatsoever. And that doesn't say anything to me about Aaron Rodgers as a player. It says more about a young player sort of understanding what happens as you get a little bit older in today's NFL.
And especially in this era. Yep.
But you guys understand that. You see that tweet from Maggie and Perloff.
It's another where if you want to blank on Aaron Rodgers,
correct.
You can.
That's exactly what I figured you'd say.
Rorschach, I think. Isn't it your Rorschach test?
The Rorschach test. Yeah, I like saying that. It's a fun word to say. Tough word to spell, as Tausch likes to say. It is a feel-good Friday, not just because Joe Thomas is here. We'll wrap things up for Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints, next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Feeling good, like I should. When in Durka, walk around the neighborhood. Feeling blessed, never stressed. Got that sunshine on my
It is Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. As a longtime Joe Thomas admirer, but I never covered you.
No.
Like, I think I talked to you on the phone maybe when the Packers played the Browns once to do a story for the State Journal, but that was it. The first time I actually met you in person was in a Mission Barbecue when we did the show.
Good in here.
How about that?
It smells like a Mission Barbecue.
The door.
In here.
It is.
Yeah, it's wafting in here. Now I'm about to walk
Usually
out of the show
wafting
right now.
Is a bad term.
No, wafting in
a good way today. Feeling good.
We will save rehashing Tausch's wafting and door opening story from earlier in the week at Fiserv Forum, and instead talk about what was great about going to Mission Barbecue that first time was not only meeting you, but learning all about the mission that they are on and the respect they have for veterans and how they honor them. And you've been a big part of it from the very beginning. We now have one in Green Bay, so we see what happens. But take us through a little bit of the Mission Barbecue story since you're here.
Yeah, the quick story is Bill Krause, he's the founder. He's from Wauwatosa. He was one of the first outside employees that Under Armour hired to be their marketing director. He signed me when I was a rookie, and then we just became really good friends. Of course, Under Armour stock went public, and he went, don't have to work anymore.
This is great.
But then he was like, man, but now I'm super bored. But he has two sons in the military, and he loves to eat. And he was like, how do I put those things together? And as a marketing branding guy his whole life, he was like, I'm going to travel the country with a buddy, Newt, who became his partner, who used to work at Outback. And we're going to eat at all the best barbecue places in all of America, because what's more American than barbecue? And we're going to come up with a menu that represents all the best of barbecue throughout the country. And then we're going to somehow bring that together with representing military, firefighter, first responders, and give back and make that part of our mission. And for a while, Bill was telling me he wanted to call his barbecue restaurant Sloppy Joe's. And he was like, is that okay with you? You know, like, because he always wanted me to be on board with him. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. Like, cool. And then all of a sudden one day he's like, yeah, that was probably a bad idea. We're going to call it Mission Barbecue because we actually have a mission now. And it's been a huge part of the brand. It's obviously one of the reasons people recognize it for the first time was when they walk in and it's noon and you're thinking, all right, lunch rush. Everybody's going to be just pounding in and out of those doors, grabbing good barbecue. And everybody stop. They're standing up. The national anthem is playing, and they do it every single day at noon. It's part of who they are. And then they've also given millions of dollars back to the people that I mentioned, the military, the police, firefighters, first responders, EMTs, and built this community. Because you talk to people that come out of the military, they talk about you kind of lose that camaraderie, that brotherhood, that group, right? And it's really cool. These Mission Barbecues within these different locations have kind of given that brotherhood, that group, that tribal affiliation to a lot of people as they are leaving after service in the military. And it's cool seeing you go into these different restaurants and people are putting their military, the medallions that they give out with their companies and stuff, and they're putting them up in these restaurants because you want people to feel like this is home for them and they can come here and they can share those stories with their brothers and sisters, of course. Brothers used in a unisex manner.
Yes, of course.
My good friend John Kerry informs me that Bill is a Marquette High guy. So he there is. You go. So when we eat Mission Barbecue here in a second, we'll both look like you when we're done. That's how that works?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Then we go to yoga next. Then we sweat it out in yoga downtown.
If that doesn't work,
or
at least goes to a good cause, too.
Exactly. That's it for us. Great to see Joe Thomas. Thanks to
next time we see Joe,
he will be a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Isn't that something?
I'll be back down here and we'll do another awkward show in person. That's it for us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.